Let me ask you a question. I'm people who have been here for many years, like a lot of us. EAA made some major changes in the layout and some of the facilities besides the flush toilets. There are new 45-degree paths, so you can actually get where you want to get a little faster. You can cut the corner. You also don't have to necessarily look behind you to see who's trying to run you down in a big Pepsi truck. There are concrete benches around. So everybody like the new improvements? Any comments? Anything that I missed? Yeah. Thumbs up. We got it. Okay.
Wait a minute, that was a iffy.
Yeah.
Iffy? Iffy. Yeah, I like a bunch of the, I'm a volunteer here with EAA Video, and for us, I mean, we love a lot of the new, the benches are great for people, everything. We can't get there from here. We
yeah.
have to go
I know
all
exactly
the way out and around, so we've had instances where it's like, hey, can you quick run down, you know, to Theater in the Woods for something, and we're like, we'll see you in 20. So some of the pieces are really good. I really, as a pedestrian, I really, really like the improvements, but as a volunteer trying to get from point A to point B, if you have to go through the center of the facility, it's really complicated.
Yeah, I had that exact same problem coming here to set up today. I headed from the press headquarters right down the road there, and I got stopped and turned around, and basically there were a lot of complaints in previous years, especially the last couple, about, oh, there's all these darn golf carts around from attendees, which is understandable, but obviously there are things that you have to do and we have to do, and there's a lot going on here. But yeah, now there are cart paths that go kind of out around the outside, so you don't really see too many carts in Aeroshell Square. I guess it is possible to get vehicles in there still, but only if you're really, really, really special.
Well, I just think that maybe the next thing, the next fundraiser, would be the EAA monorail.
Now, the real problem with the cart paths is that it keeps the carts out of the people, but it doesn't keep the people off the cart paths, so it's really hard to get around, as you said. But
Rod,
go ahead in the back there, Rod.
Question. You got to talk now.
Yeah, but when I'm trying to talk to them, I can't see them. So that's why I just took a moment. So, hey, guys, my comment about the new changes and all that, I want to say AT&T, thanks for nothing.
Fail.
That emotion.
Boo.
Secondly, you know, we're out in Camp Schuller, and I know that there are signs over that says Camp Schuller has Wi-Fi, but I think there's a difference between the camp having Wi-Fi and having Wi-Fi that works. So if they could fix that, I mean, that would really sort of help out sort of the quality of life for folks that are here all the time.
Not to make excuses for EAA's IT folks, but it feels like they just didn't anticipate how much bandwidth would be required, because there are areas that seem like it's working okay.
We're told that
if you go down to ultralights, you can get on the Wi-Fi, and there are places where it's okay. There certainly are places where it's atrocious. What do you think?
Well, definitely is. I mean, at press headquarters, we didn't have Wi-Fi for the first day or so, but I know they had a new IT person start less than a month ago, and so they're a little understaffed, and he's coming up to speed really quickly. So part of me gives them the benefit of the doubt. Part of me says, well, they should have just outsourced it then, if they can't do it.
Yeah, but the data issue on AT&T, like Twitter and stuff, that's not a Wi-Fi issue for EAA. I mean, but
Will's going off to premiere his movie trailer.
Bye, Will.
Big round of applause there.
Yay! We'll see you.
We're not good enough. He's going to go hang out with Harrison Ford tonight.
Well, he was trying to quietly sneak out, I think.
No.
None of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know this, Will is at 8 o'clock. Will. Something
yeah,
like
o'clock.
That. Down at the...
What time? 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock at the Fly-In Theater. So after we're done here, if you want to go and check that out. And if you miss it, it's on your website, right?
That was one of the questions I was going to ask when Kent here hit me earlier. Is there anybody here who hasn't heard of A Pilot Story, the movie that is being produced now? Anybody who has not heard of it?
It's the guy from China.
Yeah. Will, you're going to need to do some more marketing in China.
They didn't get the memo on China, right? Okay.
So Will Hawkins, who just left, is producing with a co-producer,
Rico,
a new film called A Pilot Story. And they are, as Kent mentioned, they are premiering the third trailer for that in theater in the, or not theater in the woods, in fly-in theater tonight at 8.
Yeah, and we're hoping that the premiere of the actual movie is going to happen here next year, so that would be cool.
So you folks presumably listen to one or more of these podcasts, and if you're like me, there certainly has been a moment when you've, like, hollered at your iPod, all right? It's like, what do you mean, or why do you say that, or that's just the stupidest thing I ever heard. And here's your chance, all right? Do you have any questions for us about our thoughts on aviation or the process of producing podcasts? Or
they also could be laughing and enjoying them too, Jack. Get that possibility.
Doesn't seem likely to me. Questions? What's that? Yeah, that didn't mute. Yeah. These things happen. Live radio, not really. So we have a question. Rod had to be at the back of the room.
He always has a question.
Okay, you guys have been doing this for a while. What's next?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I don't know. I guess we started off with, obviously, audio. And I've started getting into video a little more. I've done a couple of real short video things. We had we did have my glider intro flight a couple years ago was in our feed. When I went up in the tower, Canon gave me this amazing camera, $11,000 camera. And moving up from a little tiny Nikon point and shoot, I went, ooh, there's something I can do with this. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting some more really nifty still pictures, and hopefully we'll start putting them on here during the podcast. But iPhone.
Yeah. What are some? Are anyone else here thinking about taking podcasts to the next level? And
yeah,
what is that level?
I started doing some of that with video, and what I found out is I'm a really lousy video editor. And so there's definitely a treat to that. I mean, audio seems to be more intuitive to me than the intricacies of. I mean, Will could probably do an astounding job with the video, but not to mention the software. But I'm a little slow on that right now.
Jason, you seem to.
Yeah, well, at the finer points of flying, what I've been doing, and Rod, you're right. I've been doing it. We've all been doing it for a long time, but I feel like I've been doing it for a very long time. October 14th, 2005 was the first podcast, and for those of you that don't know the finer points, it's essentially a weekly flight training tip. It's kind of a short format, little bits of CFI wisdom, kind of like a weekly BFR vitamin pill, if you will. And we kind of started doing video also, so now we've got an audio podcast and a video podcast each week, and I've really poured a lot of my heart and into it and really tried to give the best advice I can about flying. And I found that after, I think, around 200-plus audio episodes and coming up on 65 video tips at the moment. So what we've done recently is expand that into a Twitter feed, which is separate from my personal Twitter feed. So we've got TFP of Flying, where you can get Twitter updates about you know, flight training tips. And what we're working on at the finer points of flying is kind of carefully seeking out other master flight instructors to come in and sort of add to what I've been doing over that period of time and get other CFI opinions and other instructors into the mix to sort of kick the fire up a little bit and help me keep pushing out really, really good quality flight training tips.
Yeah. So the people who raised their hands who were in training or were going to be in training, I think we had somebody, I don't know if they're still here, who was in the back of the room who hadn't started yet. I'll reiterate this. I said this last year, but Jason's podcast, I always loved listening to all of them because they were very entertaining. They were fun to listen to. They got me through my commutes. Jason's were, you know, some of the few who actually had helped my flying while I was learning to fly. And so I highly encourage everybody, even if you're already a pilot, because he does do things that are good refreshers. But especially if you're training, it's almost like having a second instructor kind of giving you tips.
Well, gee, thanks, Bill. And also, you know, as long as I'm saying that, too, if there's anybody in the listening audience, or actually anybody in the physical audience for that matter, or anybody who hears this down the line who's interested in providing some of those tips or feels that they are a CFI with a unique point of view and a lot of experience in the field, definitely contact us at thefinerpoints.net.
One of the things we're doing on uncontrolled airspace is we have not quite as many episodes as Jason, but we're up to 100 and almost 150 episodes now. One thing that always surprised me as sort of the producer watching the logistics of the podcast is to discover that people still download every one of our episodes. We get people downloading episodes, the very first ones, you know, and that's kind of amazing to me, if only because there's a lot of dated material there, and to kind of find your way through all the, you know, the chaff to find the good wheat, you know, you have to, like, listen to all these old episodes. So what we're doing on Uncontrolled Airspace is we're now in the process of going through all the old episodes and extracting the kind of highlights, if you will, the segments that are not dated, that are not time-sensitive, that still we think maybe are interesting. And then we're going to build a web-based a player environment where you can actually search and surf and browse through all these old clips and listen to them individually. We're also going to give you the ability to do things like, you know, rate them with stars and add comments and so forth. Hopefully that will add to the browsing experience so you'll be able to find the ones that are most popular and the ones that have been played the most and things like that.
I hear dance mix.
Yeah. So we're trying to leverage all that old material, you know, because we've got, you know, we passed a sort of a watershed mark recently where there are now, if you were now to listen to all of the episodes of Uncontrolled Airspace back to back, no break, 24 hours a day, it would take you over a week to listen to them all. And obviously people aren't going to do that to get the good stuff, the bits and pieces. So we're going to help out.
Right, some people commute from China.
And some people come to Oshkosh from North Carolina via Orlando. So, yeah. As a listener turned podcaster, because I was a listener to the Pilot's Flight Podlog, and then I became Will's co-host, one of the things I really like is in-cockpit audio. And I'm talking to Bill, and his podcast, his episodes of his flight training are getting longer and longer and longer because he's putting in-cockpit audio. I'm getting the impression that a lot of people like in-cockpit audio. Is that true?
Yeah.
One of the things I would like to do, and I don't know how, and I don't know if it should be part of our podcast, and I haven't even talked to Will about this, so I'm just going to, you know, this is something I kind of have a personal desire to do, whether it's part of Pilot's Flight Podlog or something else, but, you know, I've taken some demo flights, and I'm going to be taking more demo flights, and I'd like to start doing some more training on my own, but it is my intention to record all of my flights, whether they are me training or me getting a demo or me simply catching a ride with somebody. Because in every flight, if the whole flight isn't great, there's still nuggets of great stuff in there. So,
well, you know, I should be finished putting my training out there in a couple of months. It would be a good time to take over.
Right.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't know if there's a place for a podcast. I know people have said that they're going to make the in-cockpit audio podcast or something, but I mean, there's just, I think that there's a cool place for that. I don't know if it's part of this existing podcast or what, because the podcast we have is really just more like hangar flying, but, you know, that kind of stuff, just, I could sit there and listen to ATC and the interactions and then the commentary about what situation brought you to this place. That's something I enjoy, and I think a lot of the listeners enjoy that too.
I think it's important to capture that because the most important moments in aviation happen when we don't expect them. You could be out just trying to fly so that you don't get as sick for an upcoming flight. You know, it's sort of, you know, torture training that, yeah, it's acro and it's kind of fun, but then there's a conversation that happens with some guy with a radio on the ground and the neighborhood kids are shouting in the background. You know, all that stuff that is the big reason you do what you do, and you realize, like, three-quarters of the way through it, nothing worth realizing happens until you're at least three-quarters of the way through it, that you are the guy in the red airplane, and thank goodness you had an audio recorder going. So what Dave says is right. You know, you capture this stuff because you don't know when the magic's going to happen until it's three-quarters of the way over, and if you have the skills and abilities, it is incumbent upon you to share it with people if you can.
And hopefully, you know, we have this tiny little bit of talent, you know, that he shows in finding poetry in some of the most mundane things that pilots see all the time. We bow to you. He's got so much talent. I'm sure everybody in here knows his feeds. Luckily, they're timeless, most of them. They mostly don't have to do with news, so you don't have to go through and do a best of, because pretty much that's your whole feed.
Well, thank you.
Oh, my
pleasure, truly. It was Ezra. Thanks, guys, truly.
I've been saying to people this week that I wish I was as creative as Steve's pinky fingernail.
Ezra Pound said literature is news that stays news. And I think that goes to the point. I don't number my shows. The vast majority of them don't have any reference to time or, frankly, to place. But that's the beauty of the pod sphere, is that, you know, we got the hangar flying shows where, you know, UCAP is outdated within a couple of weeks usually, and that's good because you guys are current. You're dealing with stuff that is coming up, you know, day to day. You know, other shows do different things. An observation I've had, and I can't wait for this diversity of skills and approaches for podcasts to develop. We are being recognized as a medium. You know, whether it's for marketing, there are product lines that are interested in, you know, the place we have in people's hearts and minds. And there are folks who have opportunities. Roger Bishop is here, who is the director of the Indianapolis Air Show, who bent over backwards and provided me the best media access I've ever had, more than I hoped for. And that content is still coming out as I have the opportunity to do that. As air show organizers, directors, promoters, as manufacturers, as product lines, whatever the case may be, you know, begin to take us seriously. You know, less and less, still a lot, but less and less we have to explain to somebody what a podcast is. And I think it's largely because Twitter has become so popular, and, you know, they sort of get from Twitter and social media to new media, sort of back to us, our mature technology. And they recognize that it's mature. And the fact is that we've got this kind of diversity sitting, you know, at the table with me and out in the audience as well, to be able to apply to the access we're being given and the support that we're getting from, you know, OEMs, manufacturers, social media sites, and all that. We are in such a great position to leverage this. Let's use this power for good.
Yeah, agreed. And one thing that I liked about what you said is that there's so much diversity in the podosphere, and I think that there's room for a lot more. And one of the things I pleaded for last year here at Podapalooza at Oshkosh, I asked that I hoped that there would be more of us up here than there were last year, and I think we did that, right? We've got more people here, more podcasts for sure are out there, and the diversity is really needed. It's a little bit like attorneys. You know, more doesn't take away jobs; it just creates jobs for everybody else. So I hope that we continue to grow the podosphere. I don't think Steve heard that. It's important that we continue to grow that. So I hope that there's more people out there. I hope that there's more diversity. That there's more people that are willing to take the time, put in the blood, sweat, and tears, and reach down into yourself for the creativity and the time needed to do this, because more is better.